B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two. Felger and Maserati coming up here on 3:05 in the afternoon. Maz and myself on location, Big Jim Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We're brought to you by DraftKings on both the simulcast and the radio side. The Monday program is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. It's a re-entry Monday, everything from the weekend. And what was also from the weekend was another report about the Patriots' quote-unquote quarterback competition, which already has Murray making noises and Maz rolling his eyes, and they're very dubious about this. There was a headline from Mike Reese on ESPN over the weekend. Dueling throwing sessions highlight Patriots' compelling quarterback competition. Compelling quarterback competition, Maz. And Stidham, I'll read it for you in a second, but basically Stidham is back in New England having throwing sessions, and Cam Newton continues to do his throwing sessions in Los Angeles. So Mike Reese says quarterback workouts set the stage. The quarterback battle in New England is on. I believe that leads to your Rodenheiser take?
Yep, hot takes brought to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two. Felger and Maserati coming up here on 3:05 in the afternoon. Maz and myself on location, Big Jim Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We're brought to you by DraftKings on both the simulcast and the radio side. The Monday program is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. It's a re-entry Monday, everything from the weekend. And what was also from the weekend was another report about the Patriots' quote-unquote quarterback competition, which already has Murray making noises and Maz rolling his eyes, and they're very dubious about this. There was a headline from Mike Reese on ESPN over the weekend. Dueling throwing sessions highlight Patriots' compelling quarterback competition. Compelling quarterback competition, Maz. And Stidham, I'll read it for you in a second, but basically Stidham is back in New England having throwing sessions, and Cam Newton continues to do his throwing sessions in Los Angeles. So Mike Reese says quarterback workouts set the stage. The quarterback battle in New England is on. I believe that leads to your Rodenheiser take?
Yep, hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. So look, I, you know how I feel. I think Newton's here to start. But what this does tell me, honestly, is I think the Patriots are a little worried about both of them. They want, to me, they're trying to keep Newton on his toes. They don't want Newton to assume that this is his job. And at the same time, they're trying to inspire Stidham. They're trying to inspire both of them, which tells me they're not, you know, they're not completely sold on either one, or they're worried about something with each guy. Now, with Stidham, I don't think that Stidham is ready to take the reins. I don't. And I think they know he's not ready, but they want to see if something happens here with Newton that all of a sudden pushes Stidham over the top. And with Newton, I think they're just worried about his attitude, that as much as he's trying to resurrect his career and prove to people he can play in the league again, there's a cockiness that comes to Newton, as we all know. And I think that they look at Newton and say, if this guy's not serious about it, then he's not going to play well for us. We need him to be serious, and they want to make sure he's serious. And that's what the Stidham hype is about.
I mean, Murray, they are pumping this storyline like you read about it.
I know. Yeah, just like they were pumping the storyline of Jared Stidham's the next guy. Wow, I've never seen a young quarterback throw so good in camp before, even better than Garoppolo. Look, I'm not changing how I feel about this. My own feeling towards this competition narrative, and I'm using air quotes there, is I'll be ignoring it or laughing at it. There's no competition as long as Cam Newton's healthy. The Stidham is the guy talk. That was one big lie. This is one big lie. Stidham's not ready. That's clear. If he was, Newton wouldn't be here. And any talk of the competition is just so Stidham doesn't completely lose his mind and ends up being a career backup. I just think, and that could still happen, but at the very least, he's on ice for 2020. It's Cam Newton.
Okay, I do wonder, what is clear to me is that there's a clear campaign. You know, and this isn't to disparage Mike Reese, but he's impeccably sourced on the team side, right? So he's talking to team sources that are pumping this narrative. And so why? The question's why. Are they just telling the truth? Isn't it possible, Jim, that they're just telling the truth for once?
Nope.
Come on.
All right. So maybe something
when facilitating goes wrong.
Can I read you the part of the Reese story that stuck out to me?
Well, let me read it, and then you'll stop me and guffaw when I get
okay,
to it.
Okay, fine, go.
Here's what Reese writes. One of the more intriguing aspects of the past week had Cam Newton remaining in Los Angeles while throwing to newly signed Patriots receiver Damier Byrd, among others, while Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer were on the opposite coast in Massachusetts alongside starting center David Andrews, throwing to receivers Mohamed Sanu and Gunnar Olszewski, running back Damian Harris, and rookie tight end Dalton Keene, among others. Reese writes that the dueling sessions shine a spotlight on a most intriguing storyline for the 2020 Patriots, the competition to become Tom Brady's replacement and the unique dynamics that accompany it. It's hard to top Newton when it comes to career resume, writes Reese, but he has notable ground to make up compared to Stidham and Hoyer, with relationship building among the majority of teammates and knowledge of coordinator Josh McDaniel's system. Newton, I keep waiting for you to jump in. Newton began the process.
Okay, can we stop then? I'll jump in. Sorry, no. I was trying to be respectful.
No. I was waiting for the part that you wanted to highlight, and then you jump in.
You're not there yet.
Okay,
but can I just say this?
Yeah.
Okay, Newton has a lot of ground to make up with Stidham and Hoyer. How much have those guys worked with the tight ends?
Right.
I mean, they haven't worked with the tight ends yet. And Damian Harris didn't get on the field last year. I know he was he was with the team after being drafted. But Hoyer wasn't here last year, so he didn't practice with Harris either. How much did he practice with N'Keal Harry? Like, Hoyer's not that far ahead of Newton. That's preposterous. But go ahead.
Well, in terms of relationship building among the majority of teammates and knowledge of coordinator McDaniel's system, which Hoyer does have, you'd have to admit. Now, I'm waiting to get to the part that really offends you. Newton began the process by throwing to Sanu and 2019 first-round pick N'Keal Harry last week, and he did play with Byrd in Carolina. Meanwhile, one line of thinking is the Patriots will learn a lot about Stidham based on how he responds to Newton's arrival. The fact that Stidham is still helping to lead player-only workouts in Massachusetts while observing social distancing guidelines reflects that he isn't backing down.
Stop.
Thank you.
Stop. That sentence right there.
I know where you're going.
The fact Stidham is helping to lead player-only workouts in Massachusetts while observing social distancing guidelines reflects that he isn't backing down. Okay, two parts. First, the fact that they're pointing out to me that he's adhering to social distancing guidelines now has told me it's a sell job.
Well,
and also a shot at Brady.
Thank you. Who's that a shot at?
Yeah.
Who's that a shot at?
The quarterback. Right, but the other thing is, Mike, but remember, too, he's adhering to those guidelines that they have out there. He's doing his job, and shut up. Would you shut up with that? Please, adhering to the guidelines. Who gives a rat's ass about the social distancing guidelines? And again, it tells me that there is propaganda there. There's as you would say, a manipulation going on there. There's a storyline. There's a message they want to send out. So, what do I care about the social distancing guidelines? Why is that even in the story?
PR.
Like, that bugged the crap out of me when I read that.
Yeah, they want to make sure that the message is properly, it's a proper message all the way around. And so they're sure to toss that in there. Ultimately, Reese says, all the quarterbacks will end up on the same field at Gillette Stadium with the split of repetitions monitored closely. But for now, they're split across the country, setting the stage for what is to come. So they continue to pump this. So, Mess, there's going to be a quarterback competition in camp, at least on paper, at least – don't you think, in appearance, that they're going to split? Mess. They can't go through all this and then just give Cam Newton all the first-team reps. Those reps are going to be split.
They want people to think there's a competition. There's a difference. And so now you're asking me, is there a real competition? My answer is no. Do they want people to think there is a competition? My answer is yes. And again, that line too, that line that we read about the social distancing part of it, but also the last five or six words with regard to Stidham, reflect that he isn't backing down. Ooh, you mean he didn't put his tail between his legs and run home and quit and tell his parents that they didn't give him the job, so now he's going to leave the Patriots? Ooh, he's not backing down. Ooh, I don't give a rat's ass if he's not backing down either. Can he play or does he suck? Is he ready? Like, what the fact that he's not backing down? If he backs down, forget it. He shouldn't even be in the league, for crying out loud, in that league. Like, so look, and I'm not picking on Mike Reese because of the verbiage of the story, because again, I think the whole sort of tone of it comes from talking to people in the organization. Yeah, you know, Jarrett's working out. It's a good sign for us. He's not backing down. They want you to believe that. We're going to credit him for not backing down now? Like, if he backs down, he sucks. It's over. That's it. See you later. Go home. You're done. Like, I'm not giving him credit for that.
And I also think these throwing sessions, every quarterback in the league should be doing this. Every quarterback in the league should be. Just like every quarterback in the league should show up to passing camps in the spring that Brady was skipping. Oh, I mean, you know how I feel about this. I'm a big believer in this, especially since they didn't have those formal OTAs and those formal throwing sessions and passing camps this year. It's up to these quarterbacks on their own volition to get out there. Every single guy should be doing this. So, like, I don't consider Stidham being out on the field with these guys like some sort of extra credit, or look, he's putting in this extra work, or he's answering some sort of challenge. I count that as doing his job. It's like, he worked out today. Yeah, of course he worked out. He's a pro athlete. You know, plaster it all over Instagram and impress me with how you're working out. You're supposed to be working out. And these throwing sessions, you're supposed to be having them. The receivers are supposed to be out there. The quarterbacks are supposed to be out there. And you're supposed to be working. You're not supposed to show up first day of training camp without having done anything for the last weeks or months. So you're supposed to be ramping up toward it. So I expect all these guys to do this. But, Maz, back to the point. There will be a competition in camp. And at least on paper, at least, in other words, Stidham's going to get first-team reps, or Hoyer's going to get first-team reps. Cam Newton's not going to be with the first team automatically day one, series one. It may just be window dressing. It may just be optics. But they're going to go through those motions. You better believe it. And what if, and you don't think there's any chance that Stidham looks better than Cam Newton in that scenario?
No.
I mean, I don't rule out that he will look better in the practices. Again, I go back to, so what? We're going to use a guy's first, and it's going to be an altered camp to begin with just because of the circumstances. So now all of a sudden that's going to be the be-all and the end-all? No way. Again, they didn't bring in Newton for the hell of it. And so I think you and I agree on this. The appearance of a competition, they want you to think there's one, but I don't think there really is.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. Continue with your baseball calls. Any thoughts on the return of football coming back and the back and forth that's been going on between the players and the league? I know Maz has some thoughts. We'll weigh in on that. Rob Gronkowski did an interview over the weekend where he talked about a whopper, something that's hard to believe. Rob Gronkowski gave you one of those as well. We'll hit on all those items with your phone calls at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Were you guys kind of crafted this possible act two together somewhere else?
No, that actually was really never the case. No, we never really had an opportunity. We never really ever, you know, talked like
about
that ever before.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That, no, hey, man, we need to go somewhere else. It kind of just happened throughout my retirement and that him hitting free agency. It kind of just lined up like that.
All right, Yes, that's Rob Gronkowski. Hell, I forgot where that was. What's that from? Do you know? What was the radio interview that he did?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
So, either.
Wherever that was from. Basically claiming that it was a coincidence. It was never the case that he and Tom Brady had managed their departures together and planned to show up together in Tampa, that they were in cahoots. That just wasn't the case. There's a follow-up cut to that, Billy. You got the second Gronkowski cut, wherever this is from?
I don't like to spill all the beans now, Chief. But when Tom went down to Tampa, man, it just looked like a great situation, a great opportunity. And I wasn't just going to come back out of retirement just to come back out of retirement. Everything had to play. Everything had to lay out on the table. And there was many things, many situations, which that was. And definitely one of them was Tom going down to Tampa. That was a big connection, man. You know, to gain a chemistry with a quarterback, it is not an easy task. To understand where the quarterback's going to be throwing the ball, to understand the quarterback understanding where the tight end's going to be or the wide receiver, that's time you got to put in. That's a lot of work you got to put in. And we put in work for the last, I don't know, before this year, 9 years. We built up major chemistry. So I just kind of felt like that it was a great situation to continue with Tom if I could.
Okay. So I'm Tiki and Tierney on CBS Radio, right? So when you hear Rob Gronkowski say this stuff, Maz, what do you think?
I think he's lying. I mean, I don't know how to say it any more bluntly than that. I think he's lying. And I go back to his agent. His agent said that if Brady were to leave New England, that Gronk was going to consider coming back. His agent said that. Drew Rosenhaus said that at the time. So, like, now I'm supposed to believe here, you know, a couple of months later that it was not in the works. So I think Gronk is getting grief, and he resents the idea that this was a bag job, and he's heard the idea that it's a bag job, and maybe it's coming from Brady's camp too, and now they're trying to change the narrative. But we all know that it was a bag job. They absolutely orchestrated the thing that once Brady get out of New England, Gronk would think about coming back.
I don't believe him one bit. I'm with you. And did you, you know, we all know the comment after the week two loss in Detroit in 2017. Was that the year?
Yes.
Where the reports came out where the Patriots were trying to trade Rob Gronkowski, and Gronkowski threatened retirement, and he basically admitted it after the game. Did you pull that, Billy?
Traded to the Lions, but there was a report today that said you were almost traded to the Lions, but threatened to retire. I just wanted to get your comments on that.
Yeah, it happened. And Brady's my quarterback. That's all. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
Okay, I mean, that's pretty much it right there, Maz.
Yeah, and look, again, so the part of the comment that I find most offensive is that when Gronk says, well, you know, if I was going to come back, it was going to be because a number of factors. And, you know, playing with Tom was one of them, but there were others in there, too, and I'm paraphrasing. Really? What others? Because you said point blank that you're coming back to play with Brady. That's it. When they tried to trade your ass, nope, Brady's my quarterback. That's it. You talk about the chemistry we put in all these years together. Who else do you have chemistry with, Gronk? He's full of crap. Please, he's completely full of crap. His eyes are turning brown. Like, he's totally full of it. The thing was a bad job. He was going to play. Now, look, if you want to tell me that he might have stayed retired, I would allow for that. Fine. But he was going to come back and play with someone other than Brady? No chance. No chance. Brady's my quarterback. That's what he said a couple of years ago or 2 or 3 years ago. And that's the truth. Brady's my quarterback, and it was Brady or no one.
It's a reentry Monday, so you can add those topics to the list. 617-779-0985 is your telephone number. Jack in the car. Go ahead, Jack. What do you got? You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
So I've got a happy thought for you that I want you to think about. Let us assume that Cam beats out Stidham. Stidham doesn't look bad, but he's not quite ready. And let us assume that there's another quarterback that goes down, leaving a team high and dry. What would the Patriots get to trade Cam Newton out to another team in contention that's lacking the quarterback, where this might put them over the top?
Okay, Jack, Murray, how come you're already laughing?
I'll take a swing at it. I bet they could get the third round draft pick back that they got taken away for this round of cheating. Huh, guys? Huh? How about that? Bill wins again because Bill does everything right every single time. Let us assume that that's how it plays out, huh? Hmm?
I don't think you get anything for Cam Newton. I don't think you get anything for, I mean, when's the last time a quarterback moved at the deadline?
Wasn't it the broken down guy from USC used to be on the Bengals, then ended up going to the
Carson Palmer?
Yeah.
So, now I'd have to go back and look at that. Was that after he ripped his knee?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in the scenario that the caller, I mean, I'd be willing to bet it's never happened the way the caller just presented it, where a team like the Patriots has a player like Cam Newton who gets off to a good start. There's injuries around the league. And now all of a sudden, Cam Newton, who's not your long-term answer, is traded for by a team who lost their quarterback but needs one for their, you know, their stretch run. Has that scenario ever happened in the history of the National Football League?
I mean, not that I can remember.
Trades don't happen. There have been a few more here since they moved the deadline back. There's a trickle. There's like 3 to 4 to 5 trades. There's hardly any ever, any trades that you can really sink your teeth into. But there's a slope. But when's the last time that scenario played out? Basically, the way it works is, if your starting quarterback is playing well and you're winning games, you don't trade him. You keep him and you continue to win games with your starting quarterback. You don't trade him.
Yeah, but Bill's bold. He'll find a way.
I mean, like, come on. No, not going to happen. Cam Newton, I think, my prediction is either he's the starter all 16 games and he's the guy, or he's cut. And there's no in between. He's not making the team and then being traded. He's not riding the bench. Nope, either. And he's not competing against Stidham. He's competing against himself. If he looks like Cam Newton, if he plays to his ceiling, if he truly is motivated, if he truly is willing to come in and do everything that it takes on the field, off the field, and if he's the guy, then he's the guy. And if he's not, he's being cut, because I don't think he works here as a backup. Larry in Duxbury on Rob Gronkowski. Go ahead, Larry.
Hi, guys. I think the level of lying by all of them in the bag jobs traditionally by the Patriots, it's all of them. And so the Gronk thing, yeah, of course it is, but is that any different than what's been going on for years, whether it's Drain, it's Belichick, whatever? I think it's just part of the whole Patriot thing, and they take it for granted that the fans will be gullible and think something else.
Oh, it's a great call, Larry. It's true. It's one lie after the next from one side or the other. And the Patriots with their PR campaigns and the cartel stuff. And, like, I consider this stuff innocent, by the way. This cartel stuff, which is, no, it's a competition. No, Jared Stidham has a chance. No, Cam Newton's not guaranteed a job. I consider that sort of fair play cartel stuff. The cartel stuff that bothers me is whether it's, I don't know, like the Jets are stupid, the agent's a bum, the salary, like that's the stuff.
Smearing.
Smearing. That stuff bugs me. This is just, they're trying to play a game with their players, you know, and they're trying to do it for, and I don't even really know what the end game is, but I feel like it's some sort of play with Stidham and or Newton to motivate them. And so, fine, go ahead, play that game. Like, I don't care about it. But the caller's right. It's one pile of bullcrap after the next. It's just one lie after the next from the team. And so can you blame Brady and Gronkowski for doing the same thing? And, oh, by the way, they do the same thing? It's like one big lie fest.
Yeah, look, psychological warfare is sort of how I put it. Like, you know, you play mind games. You're messing with the people on the other side. And by the way, I don't think that's exclusive to the Patriots either, nor do I think it's exclusive to football. I think it's just about every team in sports, for crying out loud. There are very few people, when I say they lie, I mean, I don't make some sort of moral judgment on it either. I just think it's bullcrap. So if I think it's bullcrap, I'm going to tell you I think it's bullcrap. But which is why I think that this whole thing is, they don't like something about the way Newton has responded, and they don't like something about Stidham either. So they're going to throw it out there and see how they both respond to those weaknesses or those flaws. But if Cam Newton takes this seriously, this is not a competition. It's a blowout.
Coming up next, is there any reluctance or doubt on your behalf whether football comes back on time in the fashion that we know it? We'll get to that story after Big Jim Murray's update, and a reminder that Reentry Monday is brought to you, Maz, by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you are looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo!
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Mass, I asked that question before. Has a quarterback ever moved at the deadline? I can't believe we missed the most obvious one. I can't believe you missed the most obvious one.
They had the guy, Mike.
But
a quarterback
that's a backup.
Yeah, a quarterback that's going to play. Carson Palmer.
So Carson Palmer, I just don't remember. Did he go right there and play like as a trade deadline acquisition? He was starting the next week for a playoff drive for the Arizona Cardinals?
No, he went to the Raiders as part of the trade.
So it was a race. So I just forget it. Someone else pointed, the same guy, Brian, who emailed in. So the Jimmy G trade, does that count? And not really, I guess. Sam Bradford traded to the Vikings after Teddy Bridgewater went down?
Yeah, but that was before the season.
Okay. So before, right. So we're talking about trade. So we're, the scenario that the caller pointed out is that Noon gets off to a good start for the Patriots. And he's not the long-term prospect here because they still like Stidham. And there's another team that's a contender whose quarterback goes down, Kansas City. And they think they're still in it, so they want to swing a trade for Cam Newton. I just think those things in football just never happen. Maybe you can give me more examples, prove that I'm wrong. I just don't feel like that happens. Anyway, Maz, there's a little back and forth here going on between the players and the NFL in terms of their return to play. There was a raft of star players over the weekend who sent out a series of tweets, pretty much a coordinated effort there on Sunday afternoon, talking about the health guidelines returning to football not being where they want it to be, and there is a now back and forth between the league and the players. What's your thought on it?
So look, I'm with the players on this one, and the one that caught my attention was Patrick Mahomes, who's obviously now probably the most important player in the league, in the face of the league, a star for the league for the next 10-15 years, draw the line wherever you want, where he says, boy, it's a bad sign when you're starting to use safety as a bargaining chip. And I think he's right. I think that's what the owners are doing. Now, look, when baseball was going through its back and forth and the players were screaming out safety protocols, I was all over the players. I thought they were completely full of crap. But the fact is, I don't trust NFL owners any more than I trust MLB players. So to me, it comes down to a trust factor. I look at one side and I say, which side do I think is less honest and more manipulative than the other? And I think it comes down to the players in baseball and the owners in football, and I don't trust them. I don't. I'm with the players on this one.
Yeah, and I think they have every right to be pissed, too, considering that this is the one sport that has had all this free time. They've had the biggest amount of time to prepare, and they've done nothing, it feels like. They are not ahead of this at all. And they've had 4 months not worrying about, like, okay, our start time. How are we going to go with this? Because our sport should have already started, like baseball, or we had to already stop, like the NBA or the NHL. No, you didn't have to worry about this until the fall. And it feels like they've wasted this 4 months.
They've done it on purpose. They've done it on purpose because they know that the players aren't unified, and they thought the closer we get, the better we chance of having of them cracking because they're not equipped to handle the pressure when it comes down to negotiating. I think they did that part of it on purpose.
Huh. It's possible. I also think that, you know, the NFL is not this well-oiled, dialed-in, advanced machine that we think that it is. I think it's a bunch of Spalding smales that roll out of bed and collect TV money. Yet they act like they're the masters of the universe and have the answers to everything. And I think NFL owners get way too much credit for everything, when I think it's just a bunch of family ownership rolling out of bed and collecting TV money. So that's all a long way of saying it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they weren't organized, if it wasn't coordinated, Maz. In other words, I don't think the NFL has its bleep together like people give it credit for. People think just because they make the most money, they're the most organized and most, and the smartest, and they're not. They're not. They're just lucky they own those teams.
Yeah, money
or
can't.
Their dads own those teams.
Money can't buy smart, but they employ. I mean, it's not a league full of complete incompetence and idiots. I mean, in some areas it can look like it is, but not every GM and those that are running these teams are complete morons. There has to be someone with some brains out of those 32 teams and working for all of them, considering how many people that they employ. I refuse to admit acknowledge that there's that many idiots in that league.
So you don't. So you do think it is. You agree with Mass that they're intentionally doing this.
To
mess with the players.
Yeah, for sure.
I just think that. And the other element, Mike, is let's say they're not doing it on purpose. If they're not doing it on purpose, it's because they know they can. They don't have to do it in advance or anything in advance because the players never call them on anything, or the union doesn't call them on anything. Yeah,
but why?
I just think there's no real pressure there from the union, and so the owners will get away with whatever they can get away with.
But to what end? Like, I mean, what are they trying to gain by holding back on the safety precautions and holding back on the testing and holding back on all the health and safety, you know, protocols? What's to gain by that?
Well, I think so. Look, I think potentially it's two things. One, I do subscribe to the Mahomes theory that ultimately they're going to use it as some sort of bargaining chip. They give the players the perception that it's actually worth something. Then at the end of the day, they make some sort of sacrifice there, and the players end up taking a 35% pay cut something of the like. So that's number one. The other thing is I think that they get the game on the field and they collect their TV money because the players won't necessarily bond or band to fight it, and that they'll play in spite of what is, in the eyes of some of them anyway, a threat to their health, a threat to their safety. And that the owners ultimately get the games on the field. And so.
But they could do that also by instituting health and safety protocols. Like, they could easily do that. They could easily, mollify the players, satisfy the players on health and safety protocols, and have football. They don't need to jam it down their throats at the last minute. They don't need to do that.
Okay, so what about the first thing? What about using it as a bargaining chip so they get the players to take the pay cut?
I like that one. Okay, we'll give you daily testing, but we have to withhold 35% of your pay. Like, that feels like, okay, now you're on to something. And, that's entirely possible. But, you know, the players, too, I think the players are using it as a negotiating chip. I've said this now for weeks. Their hashtag that they sent out, #We Want to Play. Like, we want to play. Oh, really? Then how come we're down to one preseason game? Because we are. We're down. They cut it from 4 to 2. The players want no preseason games. And the latest reporting today is that the league's going to, compromise on one. So we're now down to one. So we want to play unless it's a preseason game. Then we don't want to play. No, they want to play their 16 regular season games over the 17 weeks and collect their 17 game checks. That's what they want. So the hashtag is we want to get paid. Which is fine. I get it. But don't bullcrap a bullcrapper. I don't trust the players any more than the owners on this, especially Maz. And again, back to my original point here, when you have these guys holding 2,000 people hoedowns on their ranch in Louisiana, like the linebacker on the Buccaneers, or the hot dog eating or the chicken wing contest. Do we have this video on the simulcast? This is Ryan Jensen, the Buccaneers center. This is the thing we talked about 2 weeks ago where they're at this offensive line camp, or I don't even know what the hell it is, but they're all crowded around this banquet table in this banquet room, dozens of guys without masks chugging chicken wings, some sort of chicken wing eating contest. And it's like, now this guy's going to tell me hashtag we want to play, but we want the health and safety protocols? You're watching it here on NBC Sports Boston. We showed you this a couple weeks ago. This is the same guy that's now saying, oh, the league's making it unsafe for us? Out of here with that. Like, I don't want to hear it when the players are rolling around like this.
Okay, so look, again, I'm not telling you that every player's doing the right thing, because every player's not. I'm just telling you that in that league, the owners are more manipulative than the players are. That's all. And I think using health and safety protocols as a bargaining chip, and that is what the owners are doing.
And that's what the players are doing too, Maz.
Yeah, but still, it's not as bad. The players in that league don't have the same rights that they do in other leagues. The union's not as strong. The owners completely yank them around, and the players in that league don't have enough protection. So I'm with the NFL. I'm with the players in this one, the NFLPA. I'm with them because, again, I don't trust the owners in that league.
Okay. Well, on this one, I don't trust that the players are doing the right thing. And so I'm sure some of them are. Like, I don't mean to paint them all with a broad brush, but I just see too much of it in all these sports. The guys that come back and test positive and didn't take care of themselves or are going out or not being careful, not doing what they need to do. And I would call that eating contest, I put that high on the list. That is not, just be smart about it, man. And I don't know if there are enough players being smart about it. And I think at the end of the day, they look at COVID as a minor nuisance. Because it's just, I don't know, I just know their mindset. Like, I think they probably think they're tougher than the virus. They don't care about the virus. They're using it as a negotiating chip, too. Both sides are. And I think at the end of the day that the players are going to show up like they always do. Because they always do, right? All right, so those are the return to play thoughts on football. You can weigh in on whatever you want. 617-779-0985. To you in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Well, it's a re-entry Monday, so everything from the weekend. We're giving you some NFL thoughts from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Started with the latest on the Patriots quarterback competition. Some Rob Gronkowski comments, now the league stuff. Whatever you want at 617-779-0985. Phil and Revere, what do you got for us?
What's up, guys? You guys are killing it today. You're right. Both sides don't care. Neither of them care about the playing, but they all know they're all going to show up. But it's going to be a defense year because there's going to be no practices, no OTAs, none of that, and it's going to come all down to defense this year. If you got a good defense, if you got a halfway good defense, it's going to be Chicago, maybe the Bills. Don't be surprised in the Super Bowl this year.
Phil, I'm curious about that. That's not a horrible take. You think it's going to look like that, Maz? There's a chance. Is there a chance that benefits the Patriots? Because let's face it, they've just lost a great quarterback. Their offense is behind their defense. They'll be working in a new quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And that if it's that kind of year, it actually plays to their advantage.
Well, so look, a lot of what he's saying on paper makes sense. You would say that the timing is more of a critical factor on the offense. The schemes are a little more intricate, and a lot of them based on timing, blah, 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 all of which is logical, yeah, except for this. Kansas City has the same team back. All the same guys. How are you going to stop Kansas City? What do they have, 20 of 22 starters coming back on the two sides of the ball, leaving out special teams? They're all coming back. So who's going to stop Kansas City? Like I now to me, I would argue, and again, I'm not telling you he's totally wrong because I think all things being equal, maybe right.
Yeah, I mean, what if Mahomes didn't have his passing camp and Mahomes, you know, they don't have the same timing with Hill and Hardman and those guys just because they don't have the offseason work and it's not going to be that kind of year.
Yeah, I'll still take my chances with the Chiefs and their continuity. Like, I think continuity could count for something quite a bit.
Yeah, but they're a threat, obviously, in the conference, and they would be anyway, even if this was a regular year. You only have them once on the schedule, but, you know, to the question, does that benefit the Patriots? And I think, unquestionably, their secondary is still going to be good. They're thin at linebacker, or it's questionable at linebacker. Maybe these kids that they drafted actually pan out. And they have some issues up front, but the secondary is maybe the best in the league, or top five.
Well, so that's the other thing, though, is that the caller says the Patriots defense got worse and they weren't good enough to stop Ryan Fitzpatrick in week 17 last year. So, look, I'm not telling you, you know, at the end of the day, will it be better for the Patriots if the games are close? Of course. They get the best coach in the business. And you want to tell me that in a short period of time with all these camps eliminated and, you know, that Belichick has a better chance of getting his team working like a finely tuned engine? Then sure. Yes, I'll allow for that, too. But at the end of the day, they don't have enough players. I think that's what the issue is.
Pat in Hopkinton, what do you got for us today on a re-entry Monday?
So this is a point I've been trying to get off my chest for a long time. It's about Tatum and golf.
Let me tell you guys, in the 9 days before they left for Orlando, I golfed at the Hoppington Country Club. I saw him three separate days. And on Twitter, I've seen twice now the NBA posting clips of him golfing. So if he's not ready come the time that these guys start, I'm going to have a bone to pick with him, because you got LeBron, AD, posting all these videos of them ready. And I'm going to have a problem if he's taking this offseason like a vacation.
Me too. Absolutely. How are you getting, what were you obsessed by this year, Jason? Basketball or golf? It feels to me like it's golf. If he goes out and ball, you know, look, he'd hardly be the first great basketball player to also be obsessed with golf. And if he turns into Larry Bird or Michael Jordan or, hell, even Danny Ainge, who golfs his face off and then goes out and wins, then fine. You can do both, and you've proven you can do both, and great. No problem. You're a legend. You're just an all-time competitor. Love you, mean it. But if he comes up short until he starts winning, I'm sorry, it's a bad look, Maz. It's a bad look. I didn't like it at the time. I don't like it now. He didn't just pick up golf. As the caller said, and from what I understand too, he was there every single day. It's just too much for me.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, it's not really about the golf. That's all. I think it's just about his commitment to basketball and winning. That's really what it is. If he was playing poker all day, wouldn't we be saying the same thing? So, and I understand that golf takes a lot of time. I get it. And I like golf. So, but I think it's more with Tatum. What the concern I have is he obsessive? Is he obsessive about the winning and the basketball? Is there a real drive and desire there to win multiple championships and be one of the all-time greats? And, you know, whether it's golf or anything else, it gets, I feel the same thing if he was talking about women. Like, if they're getting in the way, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that he likes to do in his free time. If he's not singularly focused on the winning when it comes time to basketball, then he'll never hit his ceiling.
I'm big into the off-season work. I am, and you can't say I'm not consistent about it. Like, I loved, we read you the Mike Reese item on the quarterback competition there with Newton and Stidham. Deeper down in his Sunday notes, he had this that I just loved. Mohamed Sanu has hired a full-time coach to live with him this offseason, which he hopes creates a situation where his relentless offseason work produces tangible on-field results in 2020. The coach, Drew Lieberman, is a Wesleyan alum who spent 9 years on the sidelines at Rutgers. Talk about hitting the daily double for Belichick, huh?
Oh, big time.
A Wesleyan alum who also spent 9 years at Rutgers. Also, Rutgers, Albany, Wesleyan, and Don Bosco High School. How about that? Oh, Don Bosco in Ramsey, New Jersey. Never mind.
Right in Jersey.
Before going out on his own to start his business, the Sideline Hustle, I guess, is his business. Sanu made the connection to Lieberman through Rutgers, his alma mater. Of all the workout videos and all the things that we've seen from these guys, Sanu's are my favorite. The stuff he was doing going uphill, I think is so badass, it's not even funny.
Like, he looks those in awesome shape.
Oh, terrific. I buy in. I'm a big believer in this. Now, the guy self-promoting it is sort of a new thing. Like, they want to tell you every time they do a wind sprint, which, again, I think is their job. You know, it's you don't get extra credit for working out in the off season. This ain't like 1963 where Gino Cappelletti had to go work at Suffolk Downs or whatever. Those old Boston Patriots had to go work at the racetrack in the off season to supplement their income. It's not like that anymore.
Season's over. Time to build houses, boys.
Right. I mean, but still, it's like the deal is you work all season long. That's the way it is now. You work all season long. And if you're not, that stands out. But either way. I think Sanu's busting his ass. And so I'm into it. And I wouldn't be surprised one bit if he's good for you and, like, hits the ground running and all of that. That's what I want to see from all of these guys. All of them.
I still would be surprised if he's good for them.
Really?
Because I think, look, and I'm not, I'm not sure how good Sanu really is. And, you know, over the years now, he's in his 30s. I'm not sure how much he's got left. I mean, what was he at his peak when you really look at it?
I mean,
60 catches?
I was going to say, what's wrong with that?
Okay, it's fine if you're a third receiver.
No, do you know how many Super Bowls the Patriots have won where their leading receivers are in the 50s, 60s? Well, what did Deion Branch average a year?
Okay, how far back you want to go now?
Well, that's
because again, it's a different league.
Well, not necessarily.
You don't think it's a different league now than it was back then?
I mean, it is, but I've never believed in you. And the Pats have done it both ways, right? They've had 100 catch guys, but I've never believed that you need the 80 catch, 15 touchdown, whatever. You don't need that.
Okay, so I didn't say anything about the touchdowns, but now that you mentioned it, he's not great at that either. I'm just telling you, I don't know really how good he is, period. Does he get separation? Is he all that fast anymore? I mean, I'm glad that his body fat's low and he looks like he's in good shape. Can he break away from people?
He never really has, I don't think. He's used his body. He's a big receiver. Boxes people out, good hands, tough. I'll take all that.
If Tom Brady's your quarterback, maybe. Let's see if it works with someone else.
At his height, he had 67 and 66 catches back-to-back in 2017 and 2018. Sort of the height of that, you know. He went, you know, from 16, 17, and 18, he caught 59, 67, 66 balls. If he catches 65 balls with half a dozen touchdowns, what, they need any more than that? That'd be a good year.
No, I think it's fine.
That'd be a good year
again,
for him.
Yeah, but in those years that you're talking about, he was playing indoors with Julio Jones on the other side. So, like,
okay, you've actually forced me off the fence. Mohamed Sanu is going to have a big year. He can suck it, okay? Because of all the offseason work that he put in. He's going to be consistent here on this program. Because it starts now. He's putting in the work, and it's going to translate. He's going to have a big year. I'll go, so over under 60 catches, 5 touchdowns.
Under.
Okay, over. There you
Hello?
Go. Over, hi-ho. Hello?
Yeah,
I'm going
under.
Yeah, there's a lot of delay going on here.
No, I'm gonna tell you that he can put in all the work he wants. I think he's cooked and he's going to suck.
Okay, I think it's Maz's hookup, not mine. I feel like I've stabilized here with my home situation. I upgraded my internet today. I reached into my pocket a little bit. Maz boosted my internet. I had someone in here. They couldn't actually come in the house, so this was interesting. She stood at the door, and I brought the router out to her with the cords out to her, and we were, you know, plugging in and unplugging. Oh, my God. But I did all that today. I feel like my lip sync is much better here on the simulcast. I feel like my rig now has surpassed yours, and this delay we're having is your issue.
Well, it's quite possible that that's true. I'd still tell you my video's better than yours.
We continue with your thoughts. It's a reentry Monday. Everything's on the board. I want to get to the Bruins, who over the weekend felt to me like they were teetering. Like they were teetering on not being able to field a squad. Like being one of these MLS teams that had to back out of the tournament. It felt like that team was teetering. And then we had today and there were developments. So I want to get that news out on the table and get your thoughts on it. We'll do it right after Murray's update. There are 90 seconds, no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.